Okay, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for just calling us out, setting us apart, giving us purpose and reason, even when we ourselves are confused and just kind of get overwhelmed with things. And Lord, you are you're just so good to us, even in my own personal life. And you're a good father, Lord. And so I pray that as we, as the Passpoint class, just charge into the rest of the year. There's only, the year's three quarters are gone already, but that we would just be focused on you. We pray for the Harvest Party and just the involvement we can have with that and reaching our community, and then leading right into the Halloween outreach where we, meet, thousands of people that actually come to us to get them the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray that we're focused on you, that our own personal devotional time in the Word is truly fulfilling, and that we're really hearing from you. We're not just reading pages, but we're actually just supping with you, Lord, and our cup is full. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today as we jump back into the book of Acts, and not only that it would be knowledgeable things, but, Lord, that we could take something that it applies to us and really mold and transform us to be more like you. So I pray you'd speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, open up back to Acts chapter 8. That's where we were at 2 weeks ago. I really feel like I'm missing something. Like something is just way off, but we'll figure it out.
Jason turned 40 this week.
Happy 40th birthday! Yeah.
He's officially old.
Oh wait.
Officially old.
Huh?
When was it?
So.
Is that what makes it official?
What?
Turning 40s.
What official?
Old.
Getting old.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. It's weird. Like, you wouldn't think it. I mean, Paige and I have been...
We've been 40.
Yeah. We had kids so young, and life came at us fast. Not that it was... I mean, we brought it on ourselves, but, we kind of took everything and stride the best we could. And so we've always felt like older than what we are. Because even, like, the people in our peer, people that had kids our age, they were all older than us, because they did things probably more correct than we did. And so either way... Yeah. So anyway, so I've always felt older, but like now that it's like official that I'm older, it's a little different. I don't know. And so, yeah, it's aging is right. Yeah. And so there's just a lot. I don't know. I hate to admit it, but it's really messed with my brain the last couple of weeks, like more than it should. And so anyway, all right. So, if you're looking for a title today, let's call it Peace and the Purpose. And we're going to try to finish up Acts chapter 8 today. I'm going to be out for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to the Certainty Conference next weekend. So, and then, Paige and I are going to take our time getting home. We're going to go the long way home. We're already going to be 12 hours away, so why not go a little farther and then work our way back. So anyway, we're going to do that. So anyway, I got...
Sounds like an old person thing to do.
It is. You're correct. You're very correct. Yeah. No, we definitely are not. Listen to this guy. He's full of jokes today. That's what we do, is when we get close, we laugh at people who are already there. I know that because I did that. Okay. The last few weeks in Passpoint, we've been going through the book of Acts for more than just the last few weeks. But anyway, they had some issues in the church, and, they felt like there were some people, being left out and, getting ministered to. And so, they appointed deacons, and that was their job, was, just for the ministering of the body so that the quote unquote apostles or pastors at the time, could really stay focused on, prayer and the Word of God. That's what it actually says. And so that's what, we're called to do, is make sure that we are staying focused on the main things and that, the hands-on, making sure the physical things are taken care of. The deacons do a lot more of that. Not that the pastors don't do those things, but it helps divide the work up. So anyway, and so then in the next chapter, Stephen, he's one of the deacons. He's falsely accused for doing things that he didn't do. But anyway, it gave him an opportunity to really preach to these people. He's basically just giving an account of what it is, but he's preaching to them. And because of that, he's stoned to death. They don't like what he had to say. Look at her headband. Man. So Paige and I have been out of town. Yeah. Paige and I have been out of town for like the last, I don't know, we left Wednesday night, just the two of us to get out of town, which was a really good time. But I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, she's like watching videos on her phone. And I'm like, what are you watching?
Oh,
and there are videos that she had taken of Kate. And she just like misses this. She's like, I miss her so much. And so it's just funny. We spend so much time with them. And so, yeah, anyway. And I'm totally everywhere today. So, okay, so Stephen stoned to death. That brings the dispersion of the church. You know, it says that the church is scattered abroad in the beginning of Acts chapter 8, which coincidentally enough is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen, that they were going to preach the gospel where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Where are they dispersed? Well, they were in Jerusalem, and then they end up in Samaria, right? In all these different places. So yeah, it's Jesus getting what he's trying to get accomplished even through hard circumstances at times. So okay. And so Philip, another deacon, he ends up, you know, in Samaria because of this. And that's kind of where we pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago. And so the last time I taught, the title was Adaptable or Unmovable, because with all of the craziness in the church, you know, sometimes we have craziness in our life, and basically the question was, are we supposed to be adaptable to the circumstances around us, or are we supposed to be unmovable, right? Because, you know, we hear it taught different ways, and, you know, basically I boiled it down to, we need to be adaptable to our circumstances, but we need to be unmovable to the Word of God, right? To our stance on Christ. I mean, we are not going to give any when it comes to the things that we know are true, but how we get the message where it needs to go, sometimes those things need to happen. You know, I use the example of, you know, somebody going through like a hard time in their marriage, and, you know, you're unmovable in the fact of, you know, we're married and we're in this is a covenant relationship, but we're going to be adaptable in the way that we work together to try to work through this. And it's like that in every scenario in life, but that's kind of what I was talking about. And so I left you with two questions last week as we were going through that, and that kind of is going to lead us into today. So I want to, and basically the questions were, do my circumstances trump my command? And do my feelings trump my command? Because a lot of times in today's Christianity, and even then as well, but especially in our life, because, you know, we're very all about us, right? We let our circumstances and we let the way that we feel get in the way of what we know God told us to do, right? And it just really messes us up at times. And so that's kind of, go back and listen to that if you didn't get that, because I feel like it was pretty good stuff from the Word of God. So anyway, this year's theme in Past Point, right? Most of you remember this, and it was actually the theme last year, but it was everyone be, right? And the whole point is just be what it is that God has called you to be. Don't try to be more. Don't allow yourself to be less. Don't try to get dabbled in too much. Just be what God told you to be. Do what God told you to do, and do it well until He tells you to do something different. Don't bounce around. You know, don't get, you know, ADD on everybody, and, you know, you're here, and just stay focused on what He's told you to do. Be what it is that He's called you to be. And if you can do that, then there's peace in that. Like, there's peace in just knowing that even though things are crazy, the circumstances are crazy, like, all these things are crazy, there's peace in just knowing that, like, I'm doing what God told me to do. There might be a storm going on around me, but I know this is what He said. So I'm just going to stick with it, right? Until He tells me to do something different. And so, you know, that's kind of the theme. And so I personally, we kind of hit on this already. I wasn't going to talk about turning 40, but anyway, I personally have done a lot of reflecting over the past couple of weeks on just life and ministry in general. And I don't mean that because it's like, oh, now my life is over because I'm 40. I really feel like I've been 40 for a long time. I feel like my body hurts a little more. Things don't work. It's just hard. Like, life is just harder. My back hurts. I'm asking Paige for ibuprofen before I come up here and teach because my back hurts. Like, what is the deal? And so anyway, but I've been just doing a lot of reflecting, and it's not just because I'm getting older, but, you know, the reality is my race is more than half over. When you just look at just statistical numbers, my race, my life, you know, what I have in Christ, especially the fact that I didn't get saved until I was, you know, 21, 22, I can't remember exactly how old I was, but, you know, my time is half over, and I feel like there's so much more that I need to be doing, like, just in Christ, and in the church, and who knows what God's going to do in our lives. And so, you know, what it really boils down to is I feel like I've wasted the time that I have with the things that were more important to me than God's things, right? And that's what it really boils down to. It's like, man, I feel like I've just wasted so much, right? It's been about my wants and not God's wants at times. It's been about, you know, my ministry instead of God's ministry. Well, this is how I think we should do things, and this is how I think we should go about this. And, you know, it's not my ministry, it's God's ministry. It's been about my family and not God's family. That's interesting. Man, I'm just really off today. I guess either that or somebody's really messing with me. I don't know. It's been about my mission and not God's mission. So it's just like I've been reflecting on these things. And like, what is it that God's really wanting the rest of our race to look like? You know, because it's not just me. It's Paige and I, and it's our family. And where are we going with this? And so, what does that have to do with today? And what does that have to do with the book of Acts? Well, I'll tell you. So, as we're going to see today, and this is not just for me. This is for everybody. When you know that you're where God wants you to be, and you know that you're doing what God has told you to do, you're going to find peace in the purpose that God has. When you know that you're where God wants you to be, and you know that you're doing what God has told you to do, you'll find peace in the purpose of ministry. Because there's too many times that circumstances of the world will have you questioning, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Like the storms of life, and don't forget, like there is an adversary, the devil, right, who's, you know, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Like, those things are real, but like, when you know that you're doing what he told you to do, and you're where he wants you to be, you can find peace in that. Even when it seems like it's absolutely crazy out here. And this doesn't even make sense. Like, there's more people jumping off the ship than are getting on the ship. Am I really where I need to be? No, I'm right where I need to be because that's what God has called me to do. So anyway, when you know those things, so even when the situation seems impossible, you can find peace in the purpose, right? Jesus, he's sleeping in the bottom of the ship, and there's a storm so much that the boat is about to be filled, and the disciples come down, and they're finally like, man, do you not care that we're going to die? Obviously, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm guessing it was something similar to that, right? And he's like, don't you have any faith? And he gets up. And what does he say? It's not just like, you know, man, just stop raining or stop blowing with the wind and all that. He says, peace be still, because peace is what we need in our life in a world of absolute craziness. It really is. It's peace. So here's what I got today, and we're going to get through this because, I mean, I can teach you the doctrinal things in the book of Acts, and we'll hit the doctrinal things. But if we leave here and all we have is more doctrinal knowledge, I feel like we're not growing spiritually. We're not going to skip over anything doctrinally, by the way. But if all we do is talk about the differences and the different baptisms, and, you know, there's actual classes for that. It's called D2, you know, and you can sign up for it. By the way, it starts this week. So if you haven't signed up, you better get in, because there's 20-something people signed up right now for D2. It's going to be a full class. At least 20, maybe more. So, yeah, it's going to be a full class. So anyway, there's things like that. And so I don't want you to think that I'm skipping over the doctrinal things, because we're going to hit the doctrinal things. But what I really don't feel like that's a bug. I feel like that's...
It sounds like one of those rodent, like when they send that high-pitched... That
maybe. Somebody's really trying to mess with me, I think. Anyway. It's the devil, she said. It is so random is the thing. So, anyway. I totally lost my train of thought now. It's that kind of day. I was talking about what? D2, yeah, okay. So there's classes for that. But I want to make sure that when we walk out of here, like, my goal and past point has always been, am I giving you and am I giving myself room to grow spiritually? Right? Now, there's room to grow in your knowledge no matter what. But you can do that just getting in the Word and learning those things. And yes, definitely. But I'm talking about, like, growing in your maturity in Christ and growing in the things that God has you going through, right? Growing in the way that you know, our marriages are and the way that our ministries are and things like that. The things that, you know, the people in life that you would think, that person has a lot of wisdom, it's because they have those other things figured out, right? It's not because they have a ton of Bible knowledge. It's because they know how to handle themselves in crazy situations in life. So anyway, three examples of peace in your purpose and ministry, because that's what I want to look at today. Three examples of peace in your purpose and ministry, and let's pick back up. Let me just read the first part of this. So in verse 14, so remember there was Philip went to Samaria. He preached the word. A lot of them got saved. Even this guy, they talked about this guy, Simon. He was like a sorcerer, and basically he was using his sorcery to bewitch people and basically have a hold on them. And he hears the word of God, and he gets saved too. So we hear about that guy. And so they all get saved, or not all, but a lot of them get saved. And then we get into verse 14. Now it says, now when the apostles, meaning Peter, James, and John, the guys in Jerusalem that didn't get scattered abroad, right? So they had just heard about what happened in Samaria. Now, again, I don't have time to reteach it, but Samaria, the people of Samaria did not like the Jews, and so it was odd that they were even there, and they're preaching Jesus and all these. So anyway, when the apostles, verse 14, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So they're like, okay, our job is to be diligent about prayer and the word of God. One of the deacons is out there preaching. We need to go make sure that this thing is, that Philip doesn't need any help. Not Stephen, but Philip doesn't need any help. So he goes, says, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll circle back around on that. Don't let your red flags shoot up in the air. So anyway, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. How far am I going? And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given them, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power. That's actually not how far I want to go. So anyway, let's stop right there. So the first example of peace in your purpose of ministry, and it's actually going to seem odd because it's like the opposite, but doing ministry on your own terms instead of God's is always going to bring confusion and chaos. Kind of long, so if you're trying to write it down, I'll say it one more time. But anyway, the first point here is doing ministry on your own terms instead of God's will always bring confusion and chaos. I'm sorry, I did want to keep going. So this guy, Simon, it says, and when he saw that the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now remember, this guy, he was like a sorcerer. He was trying to have like a spiritual hold on these people before the gospel actually got there. And so now the apostles come and they lay their hands on these people and they get the Holy Ghost. Now again, that's not the way it happens today, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So don't allow that to cloud hearing what I'm getting ready to say before I get to there. But this guy, Simon, he's like, well, what's it going to cost for me to have that gift? Because I'm sure he's thinking, That could come in handy in the future, right? I mean, I've never been able to do that. And so if I could do that, man, these people are really, you know. And so anyway, the first thing that can bring peace is just to know, doing ministry on your terms instead of God's is always going to bring confusion and chaos. And so you might be saying, like, that's the opposite of peace, right, in ministry. Well, that's exactly what I mean. But that's actually the point here. Doing ministry on your terms is never going to bring peace. Doing ministry your way because you think you have it figured out more than the Lord does. Doing ministry your way because you think you know the culture better than God does. Doing ministry your way because you've been here longer. And so I'm just saying, if you do it your way and say, it's not going to bring peace. It will bring confusion. It'll bring chaos, right? Now, real quick, because I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but, you know, there's this baptism issue because I know, if you're a Bible student, you read that and you're like, wait a minute, it says that, you know, back in verse 12 and 13, that these people believed the word and they got baptized. And then now Peter and John come and they lay their hands on them and now they get the Holy Ghost. And so what gives? Okay, so obviously, remember, the book of Acts is a transitional book. Okay, now I'm not just going to use that as an excuse and say, let's just not look at it and move on. But things were transitioning from the way that they were before. Remember, and again, you can get into D2 and learn all about the seven baptisms, but remember there was John's baptism, John the Baptist, you know, basically because Jesus was coming. And then there was, you know, Jesus' baptism who, you know, he got baptized in his flesh. And I don't want to go through all these. But anyway, it says here in verse 16, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they believed the preaching. But apparently, the Holy Ghost hadn't come upon them. Now, we understand that today, and even a few chapters from now moving forward, as things have transitioned from Jew to Gentile, and from the law to the age of grace, the dispensation is changing. All these things are changing, okay? That's why we don't hold to some of the doctrinal law of the Old Testament, because things have changed in the way dispensations work. And, you know, some people are like, well, that seems like an excuse. I'm just telling you that's just the way that God dispenses His grace over time. He's transitioning things. And so we know now that the second that you get saved, what happens? It's definitely something, like you said. What happens? You get saved, and immediately you have what we call the one true baptism. The spiritual baptism of you are baptized with Christ. The old man is cut away, right? You are spiritually circumcised. And so those things happen. So we understand that's how it happened. And immediately you receive the Holy Ghost. But at this time, that apparently is not exactly how things were transitioning. Okay? So they get the Holy Ghost, right? Peter and James, they come and lay their hands on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. They weren't baptized, spiritually baptized. Remember, it says that they had Jesus baptism, not a spiritual baptism. So don't think that they apparently were not saved at this point. So, okay. The only way that I can liken it would be, there were times that I heard the gospel and maybe even believed the gospel, but I wasn't saved, right? And there was a time in my life where the belief turned to action, right? The belief made me think, I need to do something with this knowledge that I have. I believe that Jesus was real. I believe that He was actually the Savior of the world. I just wasn't completely ready to give it up until I did. And so that's the only way that I can liken it. So anyway, I don't want to spend a ton of time there. Those are, like, again, if you want to get deep into that, we can, but I want to stay focused on, you know, personal growth type things as we get into this. So anyway, if you have questions, let me know. So, but here's the thing. Like, Simon thinks that he can buy, or what we would say today, work, right, his way into the grace and the gifts of God. That sounds a lot like a religion to me, right? Nearly every religion in the world, I'm getting ready to teach a class next semester in HBI called World Religions and Cults. And I've taught it before, but it's like, man, I got to get refreshed on this because there's a lot of stuff that's out there. And basically what it all boils down to is there's grace and there's works, right? You either believe in the grace of God is enough, that Jesus is enough, or you believe that somehow, some way, through some person, something, you need to add to it. Right? That's really what it boils down to. So, he thinks he can buy or work his way into the grace of God. This is never and will never be the currency of our God, right? It's always grace over works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's a memory verse in D1. Somebody tell me. What did you just say? I hear Brenton mumbling, a couple other people mumbling, and then I heard Abby say something about my back, and I'm like, what? Anyway, okay, yes, for by grace you save through faith, right? And not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, okay? I thought Austin was going to roll it off, but yeah, so it's all good. It's always been grace over works. It's always been obedience over sacrifice. I don't have time to go there, but 1 Samuel 15:22. Saul, he tries to make the offering because he's tired of waiting on Samuel and things are getting a little heated, and he's like, well, I guess I'll offer to God. And, you know, Samuel comes rolling up and he's like, man, what'd you do? He's like, oh, nothing. He's like, well, that's interesting. You know, what's the sheep I hear? And, you know, all these different, you know, they took the best of the oxen and then they try to make the sacrifice. And, you know, basically Samuel says, you know, is God as interested in burnt offerings as He is obedient? Or, yeah, exactly. So somebody go back and read it. 1 Samuel 15:22. Now I'm butchering it. Somebody go back and read it. 1 Samuel 15:22.
Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and in obeying the voice of the Lord.
Right.
Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
We think that God... No, I didn't say it. Yes. He's just jealous. I read this thing, he says. Basically, he says, like, yes, I know that I've asked for sacrifices. And it's part of the law. But I'd be so much more interested if you just obey, right? If you would just obey and just do the things that you know to do, if you would just, I don't know, maybe be what I've called you to be instead of trying to do all these other things. Interesting thought, right? This guy, Simon, he's made a living on bewitching and being something better than everyone else. And so when he sees an opportunity, right, he tries to seize on it until he realizes that it's God's ministry and not his own. there's never going to be peace in that ministry, right? Until he starts to do things God's way and not his own, there's never going to be peace in the ministry. That's the first thing we see. Okay, so let's keep going. Verse 20. The second thing that you can have, you need to have peace in your purpose. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, of thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven, may be forgiven thee. I mean, how many times do you probably need to, do I probably need to hear just that on a daily basis? Repent that the thought of my heart might be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, I pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So the second thing, how did I say it? The second example of peace in your purpose in ministry is knowing you are where God told you to be makes doing the hard things easier. Knowing that you're where God told you to be makes doing the hard things easier. Right? Just a couple quick examples. Like, maybe you have a hard marriage, right? Maybe your husband's just an idiot, right? Because, you know, who knows? If you know that God has called you to stay, which if you're born again and you're in a covenant relationship with the Lord, God has called you to stay, by the way, in case you're wondering. We can get into all the nuances and details that you want to, and I hear you and I feel you. God's called you to stay. Okay? But anyway, it makes doing the hard things easier. Knowing you are where God has told you to be makes doing the hard things easier. But if you know God told you to be there, it's going to make it a little bit easier. Right? Even when it's hard. You know, what if you're a church planner? I know God's called me to be here, but this is hard. Like, ask him how the thing went in Boston. Boston's a hard field. I know that there's times that they got to be wondering, man, things were hopping at Midtown in KC, right? And it was easier there, right? But you know what? When you know that you're where God's told you to be, it makes just staying a little bit easier, right? Think about a missionary. You go to a foreign country and, man, it sounds sexy and everybody's all excited about it until you get there and you realize, wow, it's just me and my wife here. There ain't no church. We're trying, but like, this thing's not growing very fast. When you know you're where God's called you to be, it makes it a little easier. The same is true here. All right. Having these types of conversations, by the way, you might think, oh, Peter, he's just bold. He likes to call people out. I'm just going to tell you from personal experience, having these types of conversations is never easy. Where you have to basically call a brother or sister out for some sort of sin, for some sort of doctrine that they're way off on. You know, when you have to have a one-on-one, obviously you never do it in front of people. But having these types of conversations is very hard. But if you know that this is where God has called you to be, sometimes you have to do it, right? Nobody likes to have to call a brother out. But if you don't, who will? Now, let me clarify that, because some people will take that and they're like, oh, I just need to call everybody out for... Okay, let me clarify it. I'm not talking about calling people out over your preferences, right? Or, you know, the things that you think. Oh, we're talking about sin, open sin. We're talking about open teaching doctrine the wrong way types of differences, okay? If you're confused on that, go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. You know, maybe check out the stick that's hanging out of your eye before you look at the speck that's in somebody else's. But you can go there and read that. You know the passage. But what'd you say? You know what I meant. The beam, right? Yes, the beam and the moat. I'm just saying. Nobody likes to call somebody out. But sometimes somebody has to, right? But make sure, I mean, unless you have an inch of your ankle showing, then man, Brenton, he's going to get you, right? A couple verses. Somebody flip over to Proverbs 17:10, and then somebody else go to Proverbs 27:5. Read these. I don't have time to flip there and get there, so no. Tucker's like, I ain't doing it.
Every prudent man drink more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool.
One more time.
A reproof man drink more into a wise man than
Notice that it says a reproof enters a wise man. Right? Just because somebody's off, just because somebody has found themselves in some sort of sin, if they're willing to take that reproof, it's going to enter them better than 100 stripes on the back, is what it says. Right? Sometimes just hearing truth from somebody is all you need to realize, whoa. And I'll speak from experience. I've had to have hard conversations with people before over different things. And praise the Lord, never yet have they been like, I can't believe you would call me out. Every time it's just been like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Right? And so sometimes you just got to follow what the Lord's called you to do. Chris, what was the other one?
Open rebuke is better than secret love.
Right. Don't just pretend like things are all good when you know things are not all good. Right? Don't just pretend like, oh, things are fine, ministry's great. It's not. Sometimes you just need to be like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but it's not right. I don't know what's happening, but hey, can we talk about it? Whatever it is. And obviously you should always have like a Paul in your life, somebody that you're learning from. You know, Paul teaches Timothy. You know, he's somebody that you're gleaning from, you're learning from. You should always have a Timothy in your life, somebody you're investing to, the way Paul invested in Timothy. But you should also always have somebody like a Barnabas in your life, somebody that's like a peer in the ministry, that's going through it with you, that's serving alongside you, doing those things. And, you know, don't be surprised when the Paul in your life has to call you out. And if you are that person to somebody, man, don't just wait for somebody else to do it. If you know something's not right, speak up, right? And like I said, if you know you're where God told you to be, as far as like a leader in this person's life, then it makes having a conversation like that just a little bit easier. You know, it just does. And so the goal is the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul writes an entire book that's preserved in Scripture forever, right? Calling out a church for some just wicked stuff going on. I mean, there's a lot of things that he calls them out for, but there's one in particular, like fornication type sin, that's like, man, like, that's messed up. And it's preserved in Scripture. But that's okay, because Paul does it in love, and we'll find out in 2 Corinthians, that actual person's restored. And that person's probably going to be in heaven, right? And so, praise the Lord. So, the goal is always reconciliation, by the way. But someone has to speak up first, right? And so when you know you're doing what God has told you to do, it'll make situations like these a bit more peaceful, let's say. Okay? All right, and the last thing, because I need to get through it. Even though... I can't get through it. I can't get through it and do it justice. There's no way. There's too much here. So this is the passage on... It goes on. It kind of switches gears, but I'll give you the last point, and we'll get to it in a few weeks. Sorry. Being obedient to God's leading will put you where you need to be right on time. Being obedient to God's leading will put you where you need to be right on time. Philip ends up following God just wherever he tells him to go. He gets hooked up with this Ethiopian eunuch, has no idea who the guy is, has no idea what he's here for, and what do you know it? He's like looking for the gospel. What do you know? I know the gospel. You know, it's kind of like saying, hey, what do you want me to do, God? Well, there's a harvest party coming up, and there's going to be a lot of people there from the community. Can you just be there? That's pretty much all he told Philip to do. Can you just be there? And then, you know, he doesn't say, hey, I want you to go and talk to this person. He says, can you just be there? And he's there, and then what happens? These people are like, well, I mean, there's this Bible that I'd kind of like to know more about. Do you know anybody who knows more about it? I mean, I guess if you come to the harvest party and you're just like, he only told me I had to be there, then point them to somebody who will talk to them. But if somebody is going to be that open, they're just like, hey, I keep hearing people talking about getting saved. Do you know anything about that? Maybe open your mouth and speak, right? But either way, you know, can you just be there with whatever it is that God's called you to do? And so anyway, there's just a lot here. There's actually some doctrinal stuff I want to get into, and I can't skip over it. So,
what was that lengthy title again?
It's a point, not a title. Being obedient to God's leading will put you where you need to be right on time. So we'll get back to that. There's a lot there, and I actually want to expound on it more than what I had in my notes anyway, so that'll be good. It's actually the passage that we use for baptism by immersion in D1. So most of you should know that. It's not a memory verse. It's a memory passage, right? And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And it just goes on and on and on. Right? Surely you all know that, right? So yeah, it's a passage. So anyway, so let's stop there and we'll pray. We'll be done early. Just be willing to grow, because God's going to put you in uncomfortable circumstances, but you have to be willing to like do the next step, right? You have to be willing to say, okay, here I am. I don't really know how this is going to go, but this is what you've called me to do, right? Remember, everyone just needs to be what it is that God's called them to be, and He takes care of the rest. So, all right, let's pray, and we'll get out of here. We'll pick this up in a couple weeks. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. Lord, thank you for your word. And I do pray, Lord, that, you know, at times there's people we have to have hard conversations with. And, you know, that's not really the point of the message here, but you know, maybe you're calling somebody here to grow, to be more like you. And, you know, we just need to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and not just try to be the mind of Jesus sometimes. We'll just let you do the thinking and we'll do the actions, Lord. And so I pray that you would change us from the inside out, that we would be more like you, that, you know, when there's somebody that is trying to do things in their will and their power, Lord, that they would just submit to you, to follow you and do things your way, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, I pray you be with Pastor Brian as he preaches today. Just get the glory from all the things that are going on. Just praise you for being Jesus so we don't have to be. In Christ's name, amen.